This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, August 17, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the turbulent trading week nears an end after yesterday's nearly 400-point gain for the Dow.
Shares of chipmakers slump amid concern the market has peaked.
Turkey faces the threat of new sanctions from the White House.
Plus, new details on Elon Musk's tweet on taking Tesla private.
It's day two of deliberations in Paul Manafort's fraud trial. Plus, the fallout continues from President Trump pulling ex-CIA Chief John Brennan's security clearance. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, Yankees drop a key series. Mets set a franchise record, while it's back to square one for the Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are declining this morning as we close out a turbulent trading week. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5.5 points, Dow futures down 47, NASDAQ futures down 19, the DAX in Germany is down 0.4%, CAC in Paris down 0.25%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 8 cents to $65.54 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.1% on a dollar to $11.83 an ounce. The euro, $1.1380, the yen 110.49, and the Turkish lira 6.29. Bob.
The White House is stepping on Turkey's efforts to reassure financial markets. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says more sanctions could come if Turkey doesn't release Pastor Andrew Brunson.
We've put sanctions on several of their cabinet members. Working with you, we have more that we're planning to do if they don't release him quickly.
Stephen Cook, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, says Turkey has responded to pressure before and could do so again.
The U.S. has some very significant grievances, and even if the pastor is released, there's about 15 to 20 other Americans who are being held in Turkey on trumped-up charges, and there's a whole host of other geostrategic challenges that Turkey presents to the United States.
S&P Global Ratings is scheduled to update its credit rating on Turkey later today. The Turkish lira is weakening again this morning. It is currently down almost 8%.
On the trade front, President Trump is pushing China to bring more to the table at upcoming talks.
We're talking to China. They very much want to talk. They are just not able to give us a deal that's acceptable. So we're not going to do any deal until we get one that's fair to our country.
The U.S. and China are preparing for their first major trade negotiations in more than 2 months. Dow Jones reports the meetings are set to begin this Wednesday.
Stocks in Asia today finished a volatile week on somewhat firmer footing. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
The Nikkei 225 closed high by 0.4% in Tokyo, while a rebound in Tencent shares helped the Hang Seng Index. But Chinese shares listed on the mainland underperformed, the CSI 300 closing down by almost 1.5%. Stocks in Indonesia remained under pressure, although Indian stocks rose despite the rupee holding past 70 to the dollar intraday, its weakest level on record. Emerging markets as a whole were trading higher for the first time in 8 sessions as the dollar and commodities steadied. Still, not a great week for those long in Asian equities, the regional index posting its worst weekly drop since mid-March. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, shares of A.P. Moller Maersk are up 3% in Copenhagen as the company moves to exit the energy industry. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yes, Maersk says it's listing its drilling units separately. That's as it seeks to focus entirely on the container transport industry that it dominates. It marks a historic break from the conglomerate structure that's been in the works since the summer of 2016. The decision will take effect sometime next year, the CEO telling Bloomberg that the management had explored all options for the drilling unit before deciding to opt for a separate listing in Copenhagen. He says, "We believe this will create the best value for our shareholders." Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. We're getting new details on the origins of Elon Musk's tweet about taking Tesla private. The CEO tells the New York Times that no one saw or reviewed his tweet before it was posted and that he typed the message while driving to the airport.
At the same time, the New York Times says Tesla is ramping up its search for a chief operating officer to take some pressure off Musk. Tesla executives have reportedly been trying for years to recruit a COO, and that effort has intensified since last week's tweets. The Times also says that Musk's use of Ambien has worried some board members, who note that sometimes the drug doesn't put him to sleep and instead contributes to late-night Twitter sessions. Shares of Tesla are down 1% in early trading.
On the earnings front, shares of NVIDIA are down about 4% in early trading as Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora reports a drop in cryptocurrency demand is weighing on chip sales for the company.
Earnings per share for NVIDIA beat estimates, but investors chose to ignore that and instead focused on a drop-off in sales of graphics chips to miners of digital currencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Demand from those customers declined 94% from the previous quarter, while revenue from gamers and data centers topped expectations. Going forward, NVIDIA says revenue tied to cryptocurrencies is likely to disappear entirely. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrice, thank you. Shares of Applied Materials down more than 4% after a disappointing sales outlook. The maker of machinery used to manufacture semiconductors says fourth quarter revenue will come in below estimates. That's stoking concern that the chip market has peaked.
On the retail front, shares of Nordstrom are up 9% in early trading after same-store sales rose 4% last quarter. It's a welcome change for a department store sector that's faced a tough week. The shares of Macy's and JCPenney both plummeting after their earnings reports.
And on the energy front, oil is headed for its longest run of weekly declines in 3 years. Crude prices are being dragged down by a slump in emerging markets, rising supplies, and concerns over U.S.-China trade. Checking prices now, oil is moving higher this morning, with NYMEX crude up 0.2% or 13 cents to $65.59 a barrel, while Brent is up 0.4%, up 28 cents to $71.71. Futures, meanwhile, are lower. S&P futures down about 6 points, Dow futures down 48, and NASDAQ futures are down 23. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.84%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. A question of reasonable doubt? Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story and more now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Deliberations resumed today in Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud trial. Jurors ended their first day of deliberations yesterday by asking the judge, what is reasonable doubt? The panel asked three other questions in the same note. Yesterday, Manafort's attorney, Kevin Downing, spoke to reporters outside the courthouse.
Well, we just got some good news. The jury's been deliberating. They had some questions, which the judge addressed. And they've asked to come back tomorrow to continue deliberation. So, overall, a very good day for Mr. Manafort.
A U.S. admiral who oversaw the raid that killed Osama bin Laden is now asking President Trump to revoke his security clearance after the president did that to former CIA Director John Brennan. Retired Navy Admiral William McRaven made the request in an open letter in the Washington Post. Meanwhile, Republican senators are reacting to Brennan, Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Is continually attacking the president in very political terms is a disservice to the intelligence agency that he once headed. But nevertheless, I don't see grounds for revoking his clearance.
Retiring Senator Orrin Hatch defended the president's move, saying he's surprised it took this long. President Trump's military parade in Washington has been pushed back to next year. There are reports that the estimated cost had soared to $92 million. Tomorrow, Russian President Putin travels to Germany for talks with Chancellor Merkel. Putin will also stop in Austria for the wedding of the country's foreign minister. Bloomberg's Ilya Hipov has more from Moscow.
Such a busy day, combining a social event and official talks, is another major step toward ending Russia's isolation. The German trip is special for Putin because it finally looks like a routine. He hasn't been to Germany with formal bilateral visit since 2013. And the only meetings he had with Merkel were at international events or in Russia. For Merkel, this is a chance to reaffirm her pivotal role in Europe despite election setbacks. In Moscow, Ilya Arkhipov, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees see the gap tighten in the wild card race after New York was beaten 3-1 at the stadium and dropping the series to the Rays. Frustration has also boiled over, and when New York left the bases loaded to end the game, manager Aaron Boone offered up his thoughts on the team.
It is a difficult part of the season for us, but I feel like the guys' frame of mind, I think to a man in that room, everyone understands how much we're capable of. You know, as we become more and more whole, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, hopefully we put ourselves in a really good position here to finish strong these final 6-7 weeks of the regular season and give ourselves a chance, hopefully come October.
Yankees host the Blue Jays tonight, Marcus Stroman and Lance Lynn. Meanwhile, the Mets set a franchise record, scoring 24 runs in the first game of a doubleheader with the Phillies. 24-4, your final in Game 1. New York lost the second game, 9-6. Series continues tonight. Great pitching matchup, too, when Aaron Nola hosts Noah Syndergaard. Football, the Jets digressed offensively from a week ago against Atlanta when they shut them out. They fell 15-13 to the Redskins on the road. New York is 1-1 in the preseason. Giants visit Detroit tonight. And golf, have a day, Brant Snedeker. Opening round of the Wyndham Championship, he shot a 59-11 under par.
To know what you're getting ready, trying to do, and step up there and have a 20-footer and know what it means. I was very aware of what was going on, and to knock that putt in was really special. To know that I'm part of a small club on tour, not very many people have done this.
Snedeker became the 10th player in history to card a 59. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thanks very much. Breaking on the Bloomberg, a miss for Deere's third quarter adjusted earnings per share. The estimate was 274. Deere came in at 259. The stock is little changed in early trading. Tune in tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. We'll hear from the man with the strategy behind a company changing the way the world experiences sports. He's Carsten Carl, founder and CEO of Sport Radar. That's tonight at 8, tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio, or download our Apple podcast. The Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. Strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And shares of Deere and Company are up 0.1% in early trading after it boosted its agriculture and turf equipment sales forecast for the full year. Now, Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. China appears to be strengthening the yuan before trade talks with the U.S. resume. The PBOC set the reference rate at a stronger-than-estimated level for a second day. Turkey's credit rating will be assessed by S&P today, with many economists expecting a downgrade at some point. Elon Musk choked up several times during an interview with the New York Times that revealed some of the stress he's been under in the past year. In the interview, Musk said his bombshell tweet wasn't reviewed or seen by anyone. And Google's plans to re-enter China with a search engine are exploratory and in early stages. That's according to sources who tell us CEO Sundar Pichai says Google isn't close to launching a search product in China. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. S&P futures down 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 38. NASDAQ futures down 16. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds, yield 2.84%. Yield on the two-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 20 cents to $65.66 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.60 to $11.82.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1378. The yen, 110.53. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the jury continues deliberations today in the fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Yesterday, they asked the judge for a redefinition of reasonable doubt. The Vatican is responding to the report by a Pennsylvania grand jury on the Catholic Church's cover-up of sex abuse. A Vatican spokesman says two words express the feelings faced with these horrible crimes, shame and sorrow. According to the grand jury report, more than 300 priests abused about 1,000 children over a 70-year period in Pennsylvania. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets split a doubleheader with the Phillies. And in one game, went off on Philadelphia 24-4. The Nationals won. NFL preseason action. The Jets lost to the Redskins 15-13. In a Super Bowl rematch, the Patriots beat the Eagles 37-20. Tonight, the Giants are at the Lions. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. And joining us now here at Bloomberg World Headquarters, Amanda Albright, Muni reporter for Bloomberg News. And specifically, we're talking about bond deals involving U.S. airports. They are, excuse the expression, taking off, Amanda. But what's going on with the airports?
Yeah, so we're really seeing this interesting moment where airport bond issuance is up 49%, while overall muni issuance is down 11%. And it's pretty remarkable. And this week we saw Denver's airport sell the largest single airport bond, which was about $2.5 billion. So really these airports are kind of seizing on this moment where interest rates are still low relative to historical levels. The economy is doing really well, which is benefiting the airlines, and so they're really taking advantage of that.
And we saw that mega bond sale involving LaGuardia as well, right?
Yes, LaGuardia was another one. San Francisco has also come to market. We've seen Miami-Dade, their airport, come to market. So it's really been a widespread trend that we're noticing in the muni market.
And how are muni investors responding?
Yeah, so the Denver sale was really interesting because it was actually upsized to $2.5 billion. And so this was one of the busiest weeks that the muni market has had since December of last year. And it was still upsized and still, received really well by the market. The airport team over at Denver International, you know, they said that it kept their cost of financing low. And so they had no trouble tapping the market.
So what's driving this bump in sales? Is it just that we've held off for so long on the infrastructure, or what?
Yeah, so it's kind of two phenomena. So aging infrastructure is definitely a part of it. A lot of the airports that are coming to market are using this to kind of redevelop airport terminals, doing kind of what LaGuardia did. And the other phenomenon, which is more kind of why Denver came to market, is because, you know, we're just in this moment where the economy is doing really well and the cost of capital is so low. And so they're using this moment to, you know, revamp and extend and, you know, expand. And so they're also taking advantage of the infrastructure opportunities here.
And not just because the economy is doing very well, but the airline industry is doing pretty well, right?
Absolutely. And that's something that, Denver brought up as well. And so they're adding airport terminals for United and Southwest. And so the airlines are definitely, you know, getting something out of this moment, too.
Is this something that other cities across the country need to jump on to make sure that they don't miss the opportunity here?
Absolutely. And I think that extends beyond just airports. I think cities and states, you know, this, while we still have these low interest rates and while there's just sort of so much cash sitting on the sidelines, you know, in the muni market, we've seen a ton of inflows this year. There's just so much desire for muni debt and infrastructure investments in general that this is really a moment where you can take advantage of that and get, you know, a pretty attractive cost.
I guess what I'm asking here is, does the door slam at some point and you're just out of luck? Or
I think so. And I think when the economy starts doing poorly, we might see, way less airport issuance just because it's going to be harder for them to service the debt and kind of, you know, make that work.
But right now, this is a case where you can save a little money because of rates.
Absolutely.
Our thanks to Amanda Albright, Muni reporter for Bloomberg News. And let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures are down 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures have carved off 30 points. That is a tenth of 1%. And NASDAQ futures down 0.2%. That's 13 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 4.30 seconds. The yield at 2.8515%. The 2-year yield at 2.6080%. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.5% this morning to $65.79 a barrel. Brent crude is up almost 1% to $72.07 a barrel. The pound trading at $1.2710. The euro at $1.1383. The yen at $110.55. The Turkish lira is down again this morning. Right now, it is down by a little more than 5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as we close out this turbulent trading week and a day after the Dow, led by Walmart and Cisco, surged more than almost 400 points.
The Turkish lira is weakening after Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said Turkey would face more sanctions if it doesn't release a detained American clergyman. And checking lira right now, it is down 4.33%.
On the trade front, President Trump is pushing China to offer more at the bargaining table. The president says the Chinese want to negotiate but are not able to give the U.S. a deal that's acceptable.
Oil is on track for its seventh straight weekly decline. That would be the longest weekly losing streak in 3 years. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude is up 0.4% to $65.72 a barrel, and Brent crude is up 0.8% to $72.01.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the University of Michigan issues its Consumer Sentiment Index. Economists forecast a rebound to 98 in August. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
In July, the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index dropped to a six-month low, 97.9. While sentiment remains high by historical standards, trade tensions have strained confidence and generated fear about the economic fallout. July's report also showed inflation expectations edged a bit lower. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you, Vinny. It is now 6:31 on Wall Street. Deere & Company posted lower-than-expected quarterly earnings. Profit missed estimates amid rising costs from raw materials and freight.
Chip stocks may be under pressure today. Both NVIDIA and Applied Materials shares are lower in early trading following disappointing sales forecasts. Applied Materials is down more than 5%, while NVIDIA is falling by more than 3.5%.
Time now for your volatility index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 1345. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently higher by almost 1% at 1358, and that's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning, again, are lower. S&P futures down 4 points. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures down about 14. The DAX in Germany down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4.30 seconds. The yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year 2.60%. COMEX Gold is little changed, down 80 cents to $11.83.30 an ounce. The euro this morning is at $1.1384, the British pound $1.2711, and the yen is at 110.52. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. The latest now on the Manafort jury deliberations. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Bob. The jury will be back in the deliberation room later this morning in the bank and tax fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more on day one from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Toward the end of the day, jurors submitted four questions to Judge T.S. Ellis. One had to do with reports of foreign bank and financial accounts, or FBARs. They also asked for definitions of shell company and reasonable doubt. Judge Ellis told the jurors they'd have to rely on their collective memory for answers to most of those questions. They also asked for a new exhibit list to include the indictment against Manafort. He faces 18 counts, including four of failing to file an FBAR. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Incoming students at New York University Medical School got a nice surprise. Tuition is now free for everyone. The normal cost for a year at NYU Med School is about $55,000. Dr. Edith Rocco Sanchez recently finished at NYU. She says she and her husband owe close to $500,000 in student loans.
Every single day, this is something that I have to think about. It's something that I have to consider as I, you know, budget my daily expenses. And then on top of that, as we plan our future together, we have to think, like, this is almost like a mortgage, but of course we don't own a house.
The school says because of the rising cost of med school and student loans, new doctors have been gravitating to only the most lucrative specialties, causing a shortage of researchers and primary care doctors. The Italian government has set up a special committee to examine the causes of the Genoa Bridge collapse that killed about 39 people. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
The investigating committee has been told to report back within a month. The results will be used to help decide whether to possibly end the license for the highway operator involved in the bridge collapse. The operator's parent company, Atlantia, took a beating on the Milan Stock Exchange, closing down about 22%. Atlantia's credit rating may eventually be cut by S&P Global Ratings because of threats to the company's business that have followed from the Genoa tragedy. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Now, 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. One may wonder where the Yankees are at with their confidence, losing 3-1 at home to the Rays, who took the series. Still no reason to worry yet, says skipper Aaron Boone.
Well, I have no issue with our confidence. I think we are in the midst of a tough stretch for us, just, you know, how we are, a little banged up, obviously, and a lot of games and not a lot of days. So it's not easy for us right now. You know, but I feel like the guys have a really good perspective on things and are fighting their way through it.
Homestand continues tonight. Lance Lynn gets the parole opposite the Blue Jays, Marcus Stroman. Mets broke out the Lumber in Philadelphia 24-4, beating the Phillies and setting a new franchise record before dropping the nightcap 9-6. Noah Syndergaard gets the start tonight opposite the Phillies' Aaron Nola. NFL Jets lose in Washington 15-13. Quarterback Sam Darnold on his play.
I thought I played good. Just continuing to go through my progressions and check the ball down when I need to and understand when, you know, that internal clock's kind of going off. I think, you know, down in the red zone when I got sacked, I could have gotten rid of it a little bit quicker. Proud of myself of hanging in there and, you know, just taking that sack, but continuing to be in field goal range. So just not doing anything dumb with the football.
Darnold was 8 of 11, 62 yards, and an interception. In golf, the Wyndham Championship, Brant Snedeker shoots an opening around 59 for a four-stroke lead. Just the 10th time in PGA history someone's carded sub-60. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka, 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
It's been a year since President Trump dispatched more troops to Afghanistan and announced his new strategy for the conflict there. Last weekend's attempt by the Taliban to seize the city of Ghazni is a reminder that Trump's approach, like that of his predecessors, has produced at best a stalemate. There's little reason to think that more time or more troops will change the situation. But a diplomatic strategy, including direct talks with the Taliban, might, if the administration can conceive it broadly enough. To its credit, the U.S. seems to have broached this possibility by sending a top diplomat to meet with Taliban officials last month. The insurgents have yet to show willingness to accept the Afghan constitution renounce violence, or respect the rights of women and minorities, all of which would be necessary for any agreement to hold. That's all the more reason for the Trump administration to ensure Afghans' neighbors support its fledgling efforts towards peace. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The Supreme Court is giving the Trump administration more time to sort out conflicting positions on transgender discrimination. Nancy Lyons now in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
An appeals court believes the U.S. ban on sex discrimination does include gender identity bias. It's also supported by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, but not the Department of Justice. And Bloomberg Law's Chris Opfer says it could become a sticky issue for the Supreme Court.
In which two different agencies of the Trump administration are on opposite ends, arguing different sides of what could be a really closely watched sociocultural issue.
It'll be up to the Solicitor General to decide the DOJ's position and whether the EEOC can participate in arguments. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street, and that's time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Saving the Mediterranean's endangered loggerhead and green turtles has required plenty of hard work to preserve their nests, cooperation from beachgoers to step lightly and stay out of sensitive areas, and several anxious decades to confirm the effort has paid off. Andreas Dimitropoulos helped start the program in the late 1970s.
They started with about 300 nests and then 1,100 nests. Of course, you had to wait for 20, 30 years to get the first result.
But now the story can be told. A new generation of the ancient reptiles has just hatched on a stretch of beach on the island of Cyprus, where gathered school kids and marine biologists have watched in wonder as the tiny babies scamper over the sand to reach the surf. It'll be another 20 to 30 years before they return to the same exact location to lay their own eggs. They've called this spot home for an estimated 10,000 years. And thankfully, they'll be back. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures at this hour down by 4 points. That is 0.1%. The 10-year yield at 2.8515%. This is Bloomberg. And check out Twitter. Check out at TikTok on Twitter, 24/7 News live on Twitter from Bloomberg at TikTok, TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the futures right now, with Dow futures down 24 points, S&P's dropped 3, and NASDAQ futures declined by 12. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.85%, and Shanghai fell 1.3% overnight. Well, European markets are also posting losses. Italy is down 1%. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 10 o'clock, a Michigan sentiment estimate 98. And after the bell last night, Applied Materials guided lower for Q4. Shares are down 5.7% in the pre-market. NVIDIA says sales of chips to cryptocurrency miners dried up faster than expected. Shares are down 4% pre-market. And Nordstrom boosted its forecast. Shares are up 9% pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, Deere EPS missed estimates. And in other news, Turkey's credit rating will be assessed by S&P today. Wrapping things up, Dean Foods was downgraded to underweight at J.P. Morgan, and Walmart downgraded to outperform at Raymond James. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. We're also watching Tesla this morning, down more than 1% in early trading. The New York Times citing an interview with Elon Musk saying that no one saw or reviewed the CEO's controversial tweet about taking the electric car maker private. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the jury resumes deliberations this morning in Alexandria, Virginia, in the trial of Paul Manafort. Jurors spent all day yesterday behind closed doors without reaching a verdict, but sent a note to the judge asking questions, including, can you redefine reasonable doubt? President Trump's desired military parade in Washington will probably have to wait until next year. However, Defense Secretary James Mattis dismissed several reports that the parade was expected to cost as much as $92 million. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets split a doubleheader with the Phillies, And in one game, they opened up a can of whoop-tushy on Philadelphia, 24-4. The Nationals won. In NFL preseason action, the Jets lost to the Redskins 15-13. In a Super Bowl rematch, the Patriots beat the Eagles 37-20. Tonight, the Giants are at the Lions. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, this Saturday is the most popular wedding day of the year in the U.S. That's because tomorrow is August 18th. And if you think about it, it's one of those wacky number days. The date is a palindrome, 81818. Bob, according to data from the Knot, almost 30,000 couples are set to marry, and guests will spend an estimated $1 billion on gifts and attire.
I'm still stuck on that term you used earlier, but I'm not asking you to repeat it, okay?
Well, it was a beatdown. Okay. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include jury deliberations in the case of Paul Manafort entering their second day. President Trump pushing China for a better trade deal with talks set to resume next week, and the Pentagon postponing plans for a military parade this year. Joining us now with more on these stories is Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, welcome. Good morning. How did the first day of deliberations in Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud trial shake out?
Well, no decision. The jury did ask for a clarification of what exactly reasonable doubt means, but no decision and no really timetable in terms of when we could be getting any type of ruling. That could come, obviously, today, but it could also drag on into next week. So really no new details except that they're deliberating.
They wanted to know what is exactly reasonable doubt. Does that bode well or not for Mr. Manafort?
I think that one could make the argument that it bodes well or not well. I think that the fact that they're asking questions would suggest that typically in these situations when they do ask a question that there might be a divide amongst the jurors, especially in high profile cases. I mean, obviously, there's a lot riding on this and there might be some disagreement about what exactly reasonable doubt means amongst the jurors.
Okay, on the trade front, in a single day, we heard the talks between the U.S. and China would restart, and then we heard the president publicly push China for concessions. How's everything shaping up before those talks start later this month?
Well, it's interesting because also Google is in the exploratory stages of perhaps going back into the Chinese market. And it also comes at a time in which a lot of the sources I talk with in the White House suggest that they believe they have the upper hand against negotiations with China. But yesterday I was speaking with some folks over at the White House who, you know, said that they're really in a wait and see mode with how the Chinese will react or what potentially the Chinese want to get out of these discussions, which have been stalled for quite some weeks.
Now, was the president specific when he said he wants a better deal?
No, he was not. And you know, that's really the question that has perplexed not only economists, but also politicians on both sides of the aisle about what exactly the end goal is with regards to the trade negotiations. The backdrop to all of this domestically is that lawmakers are set to take up another version of the Farm Bill. The agricultural community is uneasy about the negotiations and how they're going with China. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross is scheduled to go to the heartland next week to field questions from farmers about how everything is shaking out. So there's a lot more domestic politics, that are influencing and painting some of these discussions.
Okay, a while back, we heard that President Trump wanted a parade in Washington. He wanted to showcase the military strength in America, and some likened it to the kind of parades we see in images out of North Korea, Russia. Now it looks like those plans are on hold. And why?
Well, you know, the Pentagon had said that potentially this might cost too much. Obviously, there were some disagreements in terms of the cost estimates. But, yeah, it was supposed to be a rather large parade that Congress had to approve. But as for now, no parade this summer.
Traditionally, the U.S. doesn't have military hardware parades.
Correct. Yeah, this would be definitely the first of its kind. It's something that, President Trump has opined about, rather, both at rallies as well as on his Twitter account. It's something that he feels was inspired in part by a host of different things, ranging from Europe, ranging as well as for the Rolling Thunder and whatnot. And he loves to throw a good rally. That's at least that's what he says.
Now, just to be clear, these plans aren't off. They're on hold.
Yes, correct. On hold.
Okay. Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It is now 6:54. On Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Ohio Governor John Kasich and President Donald Trump have resumed their feuding. Some people want Kasich to challenge Trump for the Republican presidential nomination in 2020. But there are three reasons to doubt that Kasich can make a real race of it. The first is that Trump has the support of 82% of Republicans in the latest Gallup poll. The economy would probably have to deteriorate significantly for that to change. The second is that Trump's surprising victories in 2016 have radically reduced the power of electability arguments against him. Even if the polls in late 2019 suggest he won't win re-election, Republicans will need a lot of convincing that he's a loser. Third, some Republicans who have reservations about Trump have reservations about Kasich, too. Kasich appeals to anti-Trump Republicans who have relatively moderate views. Republicans who are anti-Trump but otherwise on the right end of the party distrust him. A Kasich primary challenge might still serve a purpose even if most Republicans stick with Trump. But that purpose will be to register a protest, not to elect a new president. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has faced intense congressional questioning following revelations that Cambridge Analytica improperly accessed data on 87 million users. More than 70 million of those users are small businesses, and some are wondering, in light of the data scandal, if it's still worth it. Mark Schenker, founder of marketing agency The Glorious Company, says in spite of the bad publicity, small businesses should definitely stay on the platform. Schenker, who maintains a Facebook page for his business, called it unwise to leave. He maintains that it's still one of the best ways for small businesses to advertise. He advises small business owners using Facebook communicate with their customers that they're in tune with their worries. That could be as simple as posting on the business's Facebook page, explaining how their business uses people's information and how customers can lock down their privacy settings. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. We continue to watch Deere & Company. The world's largest tractor manufacturer posted lower-than-expected fiscal third-quarter earnings as pressure continues from raw material and freight costs. Still, shares are higher in early trading, just a bit, up 0.1% after it boosted its agriculture and turf equipment sales forecast for the full year. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures down 11. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds. Yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year 2.60%. And IMEX crude oil is up 0.6%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz is coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.